keep us grounded. All right, so we're in Perek Yutes. We began last time talking about the question of mitzvos and the relationship with the avos. We're still trying to figure out what exactly happened with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How many mitzvos did they keep? And why did they keep anything? Meaning, Mimanavshach, going back to a couple of prakim ago, when we first started to raise the question of how the Torah was given, when it was given, so we said that it was premature to give it before there's a Klal Yisrael. So you want to tell me there's Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach? I get it. That's a basic structure of society, of humanity. I get it. But once you start saying, well, Avram picks up a Bris Milah, and Yitzchak has Hakpadas when it comes to Shechita, and Yaakov Avinu has some semblance of Shabbos, then we have to start asking, so where do you draw the line? Did all of the Avos keep all of the mitzvos? We learned last time the Gemara in Yom Lachav Ches, the Gemara says that Avram did keep all the mitzvos. Did Yitzchak and Yaakov keep all the mitzvos? We know that Yaakov, the Gemara told us in Psachim Kofiotes, didn't want to lead the benching in the Suda Lasid Lavo because he was married to two sisters. So why was Yaakov married to two sisters? Did he not follow the Torah? You're not allowed to marry two sisters at the same time in their lifetime. So how could that be? The Ramban told us, well, maybe it's something to do with Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. The Maharal said, I don't really understand that. Being married to sisters is not a din in Eretz Yisrael. Why would Yaakov only keep the halachos in Eretz Yisrael? And outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's different. How does that work? It's hard to understand. So the Maharal tonight is going to develop that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really gave everyone the mitzvos that were appropriate for that individual. Which is just a beautiful theme. If you take a step back, it makes a lot of sense. Meaning, the whole point of mitzvos, as we learned many times, is to help a person to maximize his potential, to live the best life, and to come to the tachlis of existence, and to be able to perfect oneself for the world beyond this world. So if that's true, so we have to ask ourselves, okay, so what is it? Let's take Bris Milah, that's what he's going to start with. Why is Bris Milah so miuchad to Avraham Avinu? I mean, what is the essence of the mitzvah of Milah? Why does it make sense that Hashem would reveal that to Avraham Avinu? And then to go from there and to ask, by each step of revelation, why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu choose to allow a particular Milah to be connected to a particular individual? Even though, again, Sof Kol Sof, the entirety of the Torah could not formally be given until there's a Klal Yisrael, but Avraham Avinu has a Shaychus to Milah, as we'll see. Okay, so let's begin to answer that question. We're over here. Ume'ata. Ume'ata nashuv ala sheila rishon. So let's go back to our first question. Why did Avram get an advanced copy of Bris Milah? Right? How did he get an advanced copy of the script? Let's go back to that question. Kasher ta'ayin b'mitzvos shenasan Hashem yisparach l'bnei Noach. When we think back again on those mitzvos that were given to humanity generally, shenasan la'adam sheish mitzvos, Ula Noach Shvius, Aver Menachai, Ula Avram Hamila. When we think about this process of six mitzvos being given to Adam Rishon, and then Noach being told that you have to be makbid not to eat an animal while it's still alive, to take from the flesh of an animal while it's alive, and then Avram being given Bris Mila, Ula Das Rabbi Yehuda, as we mentioned last time in Chulin Daf Kuf, Nasan Mitzvos Gid Hanash El Yaakov, and then Yaakov got another mitzvah. Right? Which again, Klal Yisrael would later take on in some type of form. The prohibition of eating the Gid Hanasha. V'hayakol davar kafi haro'oi. And each thing, each mitzvah, was in accordance with that which was fitting. What does that mean? V'zeh kinasan la'adam sheish mitzvos. Hashem started off by giving Adam six mitzvos. Namely, Birchas Hashem, Avodah Zara, Arayos, Dinen, Gezel Ushvichas Damim, Ki Davar Zeh Bi'arnu B'chibur Gvuras Hashem. And I've explained in my Sefer Gvuras Hashem why these six mitzvos of not abusing or misusing or cursing in the name of Hashem, of Avodah Zarah, Arayos, having some type of court system and theft, avoiding murder, how these six mitzvos are appropriate for Adam Rishon. So now let me just tell you what he says in Gvuras Hashem. I have it here in the footnote. It's in Perach Samach Vav of Gvuras Hashem, and he explains what is the framework of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. And there's one of them that really makes us think. He says, the Sheva Mitzvos were selected because Hashem wanted Adam to be Tov L'Shamayim V'Tov L'Brios. Again, I'm reading from the footnote of my edition of the Maharal, quoting the Gvuras Hashem, his other Sefer, in Parak Samach Vav. Hashem wanted that Adam should be good towards heaven, towards Hashem, and good towards people. So three mitzvos of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach are Ben Adam L'Makom, so to speak. Three are Ben Adam L'Chavero. And then that seventh, Avram and Achai, we'll see what he does with it. So here's what he says. Which of the three are Ben Adam L'Makom? So he says, Gilay Arayos, Birchas Hashem, and Avodah Zarah. Now, Birchas Hashem, I get. Avodah Zarah, I get. Gilay Arayos, to think of Gilay Arayos as a Ben Adam L'Makom is very interesting. To think about a misplaced relationship with another human being as a perversion of my relationship with Hashem, I think there's a lot to think about there. So those three mitzvos are to allow a person to not be ra l'shamayim. Then there are three mitzvos which are ben adam l'makom, l'chavero, ben adam l'adam, as he calls it. Gezel, not to steal. Dinim, having some type of general court system. And shvichas damim, not to commit acts of murder. That's how a person ensures that he's good towards his neighbors. What about Avar Menachai? What about mitzvah number 7, given to Noach? So he says, the truth is, even though we're calling it the seventh mitzvah, it's sort of the underpinning of all the other ones. It's the haschala v'siba shelo yavo lidei elu averos. It's the root by which a person avoids all these other averos. What is the nature of Avar Menachai? And why is it so egregious? Because Avram and Achai is a certain Yetzahara to say, I want something and I can't wait. And it's that impetuousness that gets a person into so much trouble. A person taking something and eating something before it's appropriate to be eaten, after all, isn't that what the Chayei Eitz Hadas is? So as Noach, in a certain sense, is starting the world over, Noach is told, you have to be careful. You're not allowed to just take. There's a proper time to be able to take from the animal, to eat from the animal. Right? One should not do so prematurely. He references the Gemara in Beitza Daf Chaf Hei. The Gemara in Beitza says that the saplings netia mekata ragleion de katzvaya udboale nidos. That netios, that trees, cut off the legs of the butchers and people who are intimate with the woman who's a nida. What does that mean? Because when you look at a tree, we know there's a process called arla. That for the first couple of years, the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat from the fruit. You have to be patient. And then you have to bring your Bikurim in Eretz Yisrael. You have to bring the Zion Minim. You have to bring certain first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. So it teaches us this midah of patience. So Netiya, the practice of being patient with your fruit, will serve to chop down the Gedanasha, etc., or salt the meat, whatever it may be, and Boalei Nidos. And a person who's intimate with a woman who has not yet gone to the mikvah, whom Yirtzeh Hashem, in the right time, she'll be able to. But it's premature, right? So Avram and Achai teaches us sort of that midah of self-control, of patience, which allows a person to make all of these other right choices. Not to murder, not to be corrupt in terms of my interpersonal relationships, not to be quick to reject God in a moment of pain. Right? Avram and Achai, in a certain sense, is the backdrop. And again, it takes us sort of to the root of the chet of Adam HaRishon. Okay, so that's those seven mitzvahs. That's all from the footnote based on what the Maharal writes in Gvuras Hashem. Let's come to Avram Avinu now. Avram Avinu is given the mitzvah of Mila. What's the pshat? Why is Mila so much connected to Avram Avinu? Ukasher ba Avram nitztava ba Mila. When Avram arrives on the scene in the world, he's given the mitzvah of Mila. Yadua ki ha'arla nikres al shem kisui va'atima. What is arla? You could translate it very loosely as foreskin, but obviously it's much more than that. How does the word arla appear in other contexts? What is arla with regard to fruit? Right? What does arla mean in that context? What is the arlas halev, or the arlas ha'ozen? It means a blockage. It means something that's off limits or something that is not able to express itself. Arla means kisoi va'atima, covering, concealment, and atima, blockage. V'chol davar nichsa v'nivdol nikra arla. And anything that's covered, anything that's concealed, anything that has yet to come to full expression, is in a state of arla. V'zeu b'chol makom. Shenemar arles halev. That's what the Torah means when it talks about in Dvarim the blockage of the heart. She'eino nichnas hadavar b'libo. It's the inability for something to penetrate the heart. V'nivdal mimenu. And it stands at a distance. It's not able to connect properly. Arla means a blockage. An inability to have true connection, dveikus. To be able to find full expression. V'chein arlas ozen. The blockage of the ear is a kisoy ozen. Right? Not necessarily a physical blockage of the ear, right? But the ear's inability to receive a message and to internalize an idea. V'chol davar mufrash umuvdal midavar yesh lo atima v'kisoy hamavdil. And anything that's set apart has some type of blockage, right? Picture a highly guarded palace. There's a wall that surrounds it. That's a form of arla. That's a form of blockage. That's a form of denying access, a lack of connection, an inability to connect fully. That's called arla. So now, let's think about arla as a concept as it relates to Avram as a person. It's not just about Avram removing the foreskin and making a covenant of blood with God. It's much deeper than that. Kol hadoros ad Avraham, all the generations that preceded Avram Avinu, kol hadoros haheim hayu tachas hateva, they were generations that lived beneath physical reality. They were people who lacked an ability to look and uncover something deeper in the world. I was just learning a few minutes ago with some of the YU Talmidim, the Baal HaTanya's Shar HaYichud VeEmunah, which is all about this dual reality in which we live. Being able to see beyond nature. So no one prior to Avraham Avinu was able to really look in a deep way beyond nature. To find, in the Lashon of the Medrash, to find the Baal HaDira, the Baal HaBira, I'm sorry, the owner of the palace. Right? He saw a Bira Dolekes, he saw a palace with light coming from the inside. He said there must be a Baal HaBira, there must be an owner. Avram looked at the world and saw something much deeper than the average person prior to Avraham Avinu. So the whole world was living tachas ateva. The whole world, as it were, was trapped in physical reality, in a natural order. V'lo hayu nivdalim min ateva. And they couldn't find a way to lift themselves above nature, above physical reality. This is what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, that the first 2,000 years of creation were tohu vavohu. Until Avram comes along and starts teaching Torah, at the age of 52, which is year 2,000 from creation, right? When was Avram Avinu born? Avram was born in 1948 from creation. 52 years later in the year 2000 is when Avram starts to be makar of people. Asa nefesh asher asu b'charon. Avram begins his kirov initiative. Right? That's the year 2000 of creation. So the Gemara says, Avodah Zarah daf tes, tesamad aleph, the Gemara says, the first 2,000 years of creation, tohu vavohu. No one was awake. No one realized that there was a God in the world. Atshaba Avram. Avram came along and started to discover Hashem and to teach the world about Hashem. Uvachar Hashem Yizbarach Bo. And when he chose Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him as well. Kedichsiv Atahu Hashem Alokim Asher Bacharta Ba'Avram. Votzeisom Yerchastim. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you took Avram Avinu. Vahotzi Osam Min HaTeva Atshalo Haya HaTeva Mavdil Ben Hashem Yizbarach Hu Ben Abrios. You selected Avram in such a way, and Avram taught it to us, he revealed to us, that what? That there's a Borei Olam. That there doesn't have to be a separation. That even though we exist in a physical world, with the right mindset, with the right perspective, we exist actually in a spiritual world. Again, the Tanya speaks a lot about this. That there's no separation, there's no distinction. There's no distance between Hashem and His creations. Ki ateva shehi chomris. Because physical reality, gross physical reality, substantive physical reality, nature, patterns, science, all of that so easily, while it can be seen as an expression of God, but it also very easily conceals God. Himavteles ben Hashem Yizbarach uven Abrios. It creates a division between Hashem and His creations, between Hashem and the world. Until Ad Sheba Avraham, until Avraham Avinu came along, and he had a real deep connection, attachment to Hashem. Avram was clinging to Hashem. And Avram lifted not only himself, but he lifted the whole world above nature. Avram said, we don't have to live in a physical world. There's something bigger than us, right? That's what Hashem says to Avram Avinu when he's wondering, what's going to be with me? Am I going to have children? Naturally, I can't have children. Avram, naturally? Since when do you believe in nature? You believe in Lamalam and Ateva. Shalohayakan, right? You believe transcending the natural order of the world. Right? So, Shalohayakan Hevdil Vatima Od Ben Hashem Yisbarach V'Adam. There doesn't have to be a separation. There doesn't have to be a blockage, a wall that divides between man and Hashem. Va'oz siva lahasira arla. So to reflect that changing spiritual reality, Avram Avinu is told to do what? Cut away the arla. Remove the arla. Remove the arlas basa. Remove the foreskin of your flesh. Uncover, right, the bris milah. Uncover the connection. A bris is a connection. Uncover the connection that exists between Hashem and humanity at all times. What is Mila? Mila, that bris, means connection, a covenant, a bond. So therefore the arla, the foreskin, the physical arla, which was a blockage, shenolad ba'adam b'teva, which a person naturally is created with, Tziva Hashem Yisbarach lahasir oso b'yom hashmini. Hashem asked that it should be removed on the eighth day. What does that mean? Shehu achar zayin yemei ateva. The concept of eight in the writings of the Maral always represents lamalam and ateva. After the 7 days of the natural week, eight represents something transcendent. Avram Avinu, you transcended nature. You rose above physical reality. The nature of Bris Mila is to be Al Hateva, Lamala Ven Hateva. And therefore Avram Avinu, who himself lifted the world beyond Teva, beyond the natural order, was given specifically the mitzvah of Mila. Lachein nitna hamila Avram v'pratus. And therefore the mitzvah of Mila was given specifically to Avraham Avinu. Okay? Let's do one more little paragraph. One other way that we see this in the life of Avram Avinu, reflected in the life of Avram Avinu, is what we find in the Gemara in Brachos. From the time of creation, there was no one who called Hashem Adon, master of the world, Adon Olam. No one called Hashem the Adon until Avram called Hashem the Adon. Shenemar Vayomer Adonai Elohim. That's what it is. It's Hashem Elohim. Hashem Elohim, it's punctuated in the Chumash. It's in Perek Tezav of Bereishis. Hashem Elohim. Bama Eida Kir Hashana. How do I know? You're making me all these promises, Hashem. How do I know that I'll truly be your race, that I'll truly inherit all of these things, that I'll have an inheritor, that I'll have a son? Be'aru zal b'chachma, Chazal explained, ki lo haya ala kadosh baruch hu tzira v'chibur ala olam. There was a disconnect. There was a disconnect between creator and created beings. Until Avram comes along and says, Adon, I see that there's a God. I see that there's an Adon Olam. Avram forged that bridge, that connection between humanity and God, between people and Hashem. Ki haya hateva hachomers mafsik v'choytes ben Hashem yizbarach uvein ha'olam. Because again, the nature of physicality, of a natural world, serves to divide. It's a chetitza. It's choytes. It divides, it separates, it holds apart Hashem and the world. Ashaba Avram, until Avram Avinu came along and, again, acknowledge there's an Adon. There's a master of the world. Bilakach karla Hashem yizbarach Adon. That's why he called Hashem Adon. Ki Adon mitztarif u'mischaber el asher hu Adon lo. Because what is a master? A master means a person who what? Who has a strong and powerful connection, relationship, a sense of responsibility to the one who he's in charge of. Ve'eno nivdal himenu. A servant who serves a master is totally batel, is totally connected to the will and the desires of the master. So Avram Avinu, by saying, Hashem, you are my Adon, is Avram's way of saying, I am surrendering to you, Hashem, and I want to always be fully connected to you. I don't want there to be an Arla in my life. I don't want it to be some type of separation between human beings and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'davar zeh yadua l'mi sheyodea b'sisrei ha'chachma v'tvuna. This idea, says the Maharal very cryptically, is that much more understood by those of us who are well versed in Kabbalah. L'chach ad Avram lo nikra Adon ad sheba Avraham. And therefore no one called HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Adon until Avram Avinu came along. And again, this is reflected in the removing of the Arla that Avram was commanded in. Shuhu ahevdel va'kisoy bein Hashem Yisbarach, shuhu ha'ila u'bein ha'adam. Because this is the removal of the blockage between the ila, the supernal cause, the creator, and the Adam, who is on the receiving end of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dream of creation. Va'adavar hazeh bar ma'od shelakach nitna hamila la'avram. So again, it's an amazing idea. The idea that Avram Avinu, his whole mahus, his whole attitude, his whole outlook, his whole mission statement was to be able to what? To uncover hidden things. First and foremost, to just simply recognize Hashem when no one else could see it. And Avram said, I see there's an Adon. And he called it out. And the Gemara says, oh, the first one to acknowledge that the world is actually subservient to a higher power. That was Avram Avinu. So to reflect that and to sort of to etch that into his flesh, Avram Avinu removed the Arla. And that's the idea of Arla. Arla is the notion of removing whatever's holding me back from being connected to Hashem, whether it's a blockage of the heart, a blockage of my ability to hear a message, or whether it's just a blockage of Teva, that I think the natural world is dominant and Hashem is secondary. So the avoda of rising above that is the avoda of Hasaras HaArla. Okay, there's a little bit more to the pack. I don't want to rush through till the end, though. So we'll finish it up in Mirat Hashem Sunday night. But again, the point is that Mila was not just another mitzvah given to Avram Avinu. There was a specific reason that Hashem said that each generation was given what it was needed. Bnei Noach needed a certain framework to live by. Avram Avinu's life was a life of removing Arla, right, in a metaphorical sense, and therefore it became his physical reality as well. Okay, so we'll have to see. What is Gid Hanasha? So appropriately attached to Yaakov Avinu. But again, all of this is sort of just a way of explaining Derech Agav, the mitzvot are for Klal Yisrael. But if a person becomes, you know, miuchad in a particular area, then sometimes Hashem will give him a mitzvah that corresponds to his life's work. I guess is a good way to say it. Okay? All right, questions, comments, thoughts?